Hi everyone, today we're reading from John chapter 12, verses 20 through 26. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." So in yesterday's passage, we saw that Jesus had entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. It's the triumphal entry, and it's not just that it's this exciting moment, but this is the beginning of the Passion Week. But at this point, there is this buzz, this excitement in the air with the coming of Jesus. The crowds were excited because they thought maybe this is the Christ, the Messiah, their king who was coming to save them from Rome. And so in the midst of this excitement, we get this one little verse tidbit in verse 20 here. And we're told that among those who went to worship were some Greeks. Now, if you don't read this carefully, this feels like just a random little aside, right? It's like, you know, by the way, some people from out of town were there. And they wanted to see Jesus. And you might just think, oh, that's nice. But this is actually an important and intentional fact that we're given here. John is telling us something. He's telling us Greeks were there. They wanted to see Jesus. And what John is hinting at here was something very important that's going on. And that is that the mission of Jesus was going to spread to the Greeks, to the Gentiles. It wasn't Jesus' ministry, his mission wasn't going to just stay in Jerusalem or Israel. It was going to go beyond to the Greeks, to the Gentiles. And just for some context here, these Greeks, these Gentiles were people who were ethnically not Jewish, but had converted to Judaism. So these people, they're interested, they're fascinated, desiring to see Jesus. Why is that though? Why did they want to see Jesus here? Now, we don't know exactly. We're not told here. But I think there's some context that is worth considering here when we think about these people, these Greeks who are coming to see Jesus. One is that as people who had converted to Judaism or were interested in Judaism, at least, coming to worship at the temple, their experience there was unlikely to have been that great of an experience. Right? There was a big wall that separated them from worshiping God in a significant or meaningful way. If you think of the temple as concentric circles, on the like innermost part of the temple was like where the high priest and then like the priest could be, and then there's a court of where just Jewish, like the Jewish people, the men could be, and there's one where the women could be. The Gentiles were in the outermost concentric circle. That's as far as they could go because they were Gentiles. And then also another thing to recognize is the context of that court of Gentiles. We know this in the Gospels, is that there were people, like there were money changers there. There were people selling animals for sacrifice there. And so that part of the temple was more likely to be like a noisy farmer's market than it was like a cathedral or a sanctuary of any sort. And so I'd imagine, we can imagine that for these Greeks that were God-fearing, going to the temple is more like a tourist attraction, like a noisy tourist attraction, than it was being a place of worshiping God. And finally, what John doesn't talk about in his gospel, what we know from the other gospel accounts, is that during this Passion Week, Jesus did something very important in the temple. He went in there and he overturned tables of money changers, clearing out that area of the temple with like anger and frustration. And I think some of these Greeks may have witnessed that or at least heard about that. And so you think of all of these things. And this is what those Greeks were thinking. I can imagine like, well, there's something about this Jesus we need to understand. Now, with all of that, with all of this in mind, this news comes to Jesus. And we're told in verse 22 that they tell Philip, and like Philip tells Andrew. And Andrew and Philip together go and tell Jesus. Now, I don't know really what to make of that, but I can just imagine Philip as being a little confused because like maybe he's wondering, these Greeks, these Gentiles want to see Jesus. Is that allowed? Like, is that something we're allowed to do? And then he probably went to Andrew, and Andrew's like, oh, like, let's just ask Jesus then. And so they go to Jesus, and he says something that, might not feel like it relates, but it does. And he tells them, the first thing he says is that the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Throughout the Gospels, when Jesus is doing miracles and he's talking with people, he would say things like, my time has not yet come. But here he's saying the hour has come. What does that mean? What he's saying is that this is the time for him to go to the cross. It's time for him to die on that cross. And that's why he says what he says in verse 24, that a grain of wheat has to die to bear fruit. Now, there's instruction to us from here, but this is more like prescriptive for his own life, actually. It's at this moment, it's for him to bear fruit. Jesus is saying, like, I'm the one who has to die here for fruit to be born out. And what's implied here is that for these Greeks to know me, for this mission to go forward and to spread, I must lay down my life. And from that, there's instruction for us. We must also have this kind of heart as well. This is what Jesus is getting at in his teaching here in verse 26. If we want to serve Jesus, if we want to follow him, then we have to be there with him. In a sense, we have to go to the cross with him. We have to be willing to follow his example. And when that happens, the Father will honor us and glorify us. And the way we follow Jesus' example, the way we bear fruit like Jesus bore fruit, is that we have to be willing to lay down our lives as well. In this teaching of Jesus, we get a picture of what it means to bear fruit, of what it takes to grow spiritually, and the way that we have to grow, that the only really direction that we can grow in is a willingness to lay down our lives, a willingness to die to ourselves. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean martyrdom, and this isn't just like masochism. But what it does mean is that, like, it's being willing to give up of the things that we like, our own desires, our own dreams, our wants, our own hopes in this life, in this part, like in this world, laying those down for an eternal hope, an eternal joy of being with Jesus, willing to die to those things so that others can have that hope and that joy with Jesus as well. When I think about spiritual growth, there's times where people will come to me or ask, like, why am I not growing? Like, I don't feel like I'm growing. And the answer, I think, in a sense, comes down to these things. It's being willing to die to ourselves, willing to die to the things that the world tells us that we want, or maybe just the things that we want. And recognizing that everything that we desire pales in comparison to what God desires of us. Jesus says that, if we serve him, the Father will honor that person, will honor us if we serve him. But in our lives, in our world today, do we want to be honored by the Father, or are we just so often desiring to be honored by our peers, our friends, our families, the world? Do we desire the attention and the honor and the glory of this world, or do we want that glory from the Father? And that's something we wrestle with, right? I recognize that for myself, and I think that's true of all of us, is that so often we're not willing to lay down because we are thinking so temporarily. We're thinking about the honor and the glory of this world. But there's this invitation from Jesus to lay down our lives, to bear fruit, to be honored and glorified by our Father in heaven, by God Himself. And I pray for myself, I pray for our church, I pray for us that we will choose the greater honor and the greater glory. And as Jesus laid down his life for us, that we will be willing to lay down our lives to serve him and to bless others to bear fruit. Let's pray for our hearts that we can follow him. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are the one who laid down your life for us. And we're not Jewish, most of us. I don't think there's anyone listening to this that is. But we are the Gentiles. And it's because, Jesus, you lay down your life that we can have a relationship with you, a relationship with the Father. And I pray for us that we will lay down our lives for your glory, for your honor, and to just know the joy of following you, Jesus. We confess and recognize that this is hard, Lord. And so we turn to you. We ask for more of you. Bless us, God. Help us. Spirit, fill us. We need you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.